Okay, a good vach, everybody. Happy to get together to have a short but sweet share in Chanukah. Tomorrow night, of course, starts Chanukah. I don't share it yet, but on Thursday I was interviewed by Hiroko. Her pen name is Hannah Klein from Japan. And they were very interested to hear about Chanukah and the universal message of Chanukah. And I took the opportunity and hopefully shared some positive messages and things that we could all learn and narratives and sort of to give clarity on this. But for you and I, for everyone on this call and everyone who will hear this, this is important. And this is going to be one area, one little part of Chanukah. There's a lot to discuss. Again, a couple of shares, multiple shares actually over the years. So this is a little bit different share in the Siva Shalom. But it's an interesting thing that the Alter Mikelm, the great student of Yisrael Salanter, the greatest Baal Musar, one of the great leaders of the late 19th century, made a remark that really he and most people he knows, of course he's being an honor of humble, don't fulfill the obligation of lighting the Chanukah lights. And to make a long story short, what he says is, if you just light the lights of Chanukah, the licht, and it doesn't transform you, it doesn't change you, if you don't think about it, then you're missing the boat. He gives a mashal, he gives a parable. So imagine a guy ties a red string around his finger to remind him of something. So he ties the red string to remind him, and he totally forgets it. So he says, at some level, the mitzvahs, the rabbanon that we do, or these mitzvahs that remind us of the holiday, they're the string to remind us. Of course, you have to light the menorah, and that's the string. But if you don't think of the message of Chanukah, if you're not transformed from Chanukah, then you're really missing the opportunity and the obligation of Chanukah, what we're supposed to gain and glean, and how we're supposed to grow from Chanukah. And Chanukah, more than any other holiday, is the easiest time to miss the boat. Because if you Rosh Hashanah, you're in shul, so if you don't hear the shofar, you hear the shofar, obviously, it's a mitzvah de minatara. But if you don't hear the message of the shofar, you've been in shul all day, most likely it's going to affect you. If you go to shul on Purim, you're hearing the Megillas Esther. So if you're not thinking about it, but still way more, it's much longer, it's osmosis, you sit in a sukkah, you shake a lulav, it's a little longer. Chanukah licht, to light the Chanukah menorah, could be first night only one candle. And it's a few seconds, not long. If you see Mal Tzura, 2 minutes. So Chas Hashem, a person could miss the boat today. Unfortunately, for many people, it's commercialized. It's all about the trappings of it, partially because we're in America and the time of year, partially because people are not nearly as cognizant, as aware of what Chanukah is supposed to be teaching us and how we're supposed to be learning and growing and gaining from Chanukah. So I want to just do a short piece. On Wednesday night, as I mentioned, we'll do another piece. But we're really going into Chanukah, and at some level, this year is an opportunity because most people, almost all people, won't be working tomorrow. So I would just say, it's a good time just to read up a little bit of Chanukah, to study about Chanukah, to prepare for Chanukah, to when you have after you light the menorah, to be able to stay by the menorah and learn. Since you have a shamash, it's okay to stay by and learn and to think about the messages of Chanukah. Maybe I'll share the previous shares on that I gave on this topic, on the Siva Shalom, on Chanukah as well, if you have time to listen to that, or any other Chanukah shir or message you want, because we want to become as positive experience and growth experience as possible Chanukah. Says the Siva Shalom in a small piece called Shabbos, Chodesh, and Milah. The Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Milah. These are the three things, as we'll discuss, the Greeks came to ban. If you look at Megillas Antiochus, which is an old sefer based on early sources, the Greeks came against these three things. Says the Siva Shalom on more the base of Ram, one of the earliest Slanim Rebbes. Now, there's a custom that in all the shoals, after davening, after Aleinu, every morning, we say Mizmor Shir Chanukasim again. Actually, we say it every day throughout the year in the beginning of Shacharis, if you're Ashkenaz. And on Hanukkah, we say it again after davening, which talks about the lighting of the menorah. Says the base of Rambam, another thing, another reason why we say it on Hanukkah. Reishi Tayyavas, Mizmor Shir Hanukkah, are the same first letter words of Mila, Shabbos, and Chodesh. Hema, these are Gimel Hanyanim, Shebikshu Ayavanim La'akar Mi'Yisrael. All these three things the Greeks tried to uproot from the Jewish people. Vechshikru Bazeh, Einehem, Vechshikru. Through these things, they made our world dark. Dark, spiritually dark. But Rashi Tevas Shalhem, and it brings on another thing, again, Rashi Tevas are the first letters, right, is also Shin Shabbos, Mem Mila, Chodesh Ches, Sameach, to be happy. Umizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis, and you add the word Mizmor, Mem for Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis stands for the Rosh Tevas of Simcha. So that's a remarkable thing which we'll discuss. V'yesh loymar b'beis b'bir inyan. How are we going to explain this significance? That this mizmor shir chanukas habayis stands for these three things, and it stands for the same time that they try to make our world dark, to darken us today. And by the way, as I mentioned on this this podcast I just did from Japan on Thursday, I was talking about anti-Semitism. So in Hanukkah at the same time. So I mentioned, it's just like the time of Hanukkah, that people want to crush Judaism. There were Jews on their side. There were Jews on the side of the Greeks, many Jews. Because they have been, and I explained to this lady and to her many, many viewers, that the Jews then and the Jews today who join our enemies are overwhelmingly Jews who are not connected, Jews who don't know better, Jews who already, unfortunately, usually to the decisions of previous generations, are lacking serious Judaism in their lives. And then another system, ism, comes into place. In their days, it was Hellenism. For people today, it could be anti-Zionism or hedonism or atheism, and they fight against the Jewish people. But I also pointed out is that the Greeks were a dominant culture. They controlled the media of the time, the culture of the time. And for the Jewish people to stand up against them physically was radical, but also spiritually was even more radical. So he says as follows. So what was it that the Greeks came against Shabbos, Mila, circumcision, and Rosh Chodesh, the first of the month? In the old days when they would come with cavalry and with infantry, with horsemen and with soldiers, and they try to conquer a country, what was the first thing they would do? They try to conquer the fortresses. The fortresses. The main power of the strength, the military strength of a country, was its fortresses. So they will actually put the most effort to take out the fortresses. Actually, when you learn about the Roman wars, Rome did it all the time. They would bypass things, go for the main military centers, crush those, and then come back for other areas. When Josephus records the battles in the first revolt against Rome, which the first, second base was destroyed, he talks about how the Romans just like left wide areas open and attacked the north, Gamla, this fort, and they eventually attacked Jerusalem, and much later did they go to other areas afterwards. And the reason why is because if you destroy Chas v'Shalom Jerusalem, then the Jewish people would be deflated. They wouldn't want to fight back. Rabbi Yonis and David, the great Rosh Shiva Pacha Yitzchak, the son-in-law of Rav Huttner, I think his yard sites this week as well. So he said that the reason the Greeks contaminated the Beis HaMikdash, because that was the heart of the Jewish people. And if you see that your center your fortresses are destroyed, you're not going to invest in you'll kind of give up. You'll be deflated. You'll be miyayish. And therefore, these three things, Mila, Shabbos, and Chodesh, they're fortresses for the Jewish people. The Greeks who wanted to crush Judaism, they didn't want to crush the Jews. You could have been a Jew, but they didn't want you to have Yiddishkeit. We were viewed as a threat. In the Kulturkampf, in the clash of cultures, they did not want us to be Jews. Now, you can be a Jew, but you can't be Yiddish. You can't have Torah. You can't dress different. You can't talk different. You have to be part of the general Greek society. When you read your Athens Times and your Alexandria Street Journal and your Spartan military magazines, you need to know what the Greek culture is, and you have to know about the Olympics, and you have to know how to philosophize like a Greek, how to be a hedonist like a Greek. And then anyone in Yankels or Tirtzas or Baruch Beres with yarmulkes and tzitzis and national views, they didn't want that. We're viewed as a threat. So how do they destroy us? They came against our koyach. By the way, if you look at the Russians, I know, I see Ms. Summers is on the call. When, right after the communist revolt, they close all the yeshivas, they close all of the schools, they banned Judaism, eventually they banned any connection to Israel as well, because they didn't want Jews having sustenance like that. They let Jews live, they didn't kill all the Jews, they killed some of the Jewish leaders. Maybe the doctor's plot, they had some a little bit more sinister plot at one point. But in general, you were able to live as a Jew in Russia. But Judaism? That they looked at as a threat. By the way, I'm not a political Zionist, very far from that. But Menachem Begin, who was for the revisionist, when he was thrown into prison before getting out and eventually getting to Israel, being the number one most wanted man by the British, at one point a Jewish communist was with Menachem Begin, who was in the Russian Gulag, and he told Menachem Begin, "You wouldn't know why he's so against you, because you take the best minds. We the communists, want the best Jewish minds. We don't want Jews being revisionist Zionists or left-wing Zionists, Bundists. We want them." And so you could have lived as a Jew. But with a Yid they didn't want. And how are they going to destroy Judaism, Yiddishkeit? They went after these three things. Because this is the spiritual essence of the Jews. And what is the common honor of these three things? Emuna, belief in Hashem, Shemikor Koichal Shel Am Yisrael, which is the main part of our spiritual strength of the Jewish people, Vabihiris BeEmuna, and clarity in faith, is the Ikar Yahadus, is the main part of Judaism, Yiddishkeit. Vene BeEmuna, and we're talking about faith and faith in Hashem, Yesh Beis Chalakim. There are two parts. Achas, number one, is Emunas Hashem. Belief in Hashem, what does that mean? He'emuna, the belief, Sha'abari Yisbarach Shemai, that Hashem created the world, who bore umane, who he created and leads, to this day, Kol Bruyim, all of creation, Vula Avado, and only Hashem, is the only power, Asa, who made the entire world, Oysa, who continues to keep the world going, V'yase, and in the future, will be the only power of the world, who keeps the world going. Shabbat Yisbarach Yishmo and Hashem Yodeh Kol Ma'aseh B'nei Adam V'Kol Ma'asehem. Hashem knows all Machshavos Ha'aseh, knows all our actions and all of our thoughts. All of that. That's the first level of Emunah, of belief. But number two is He'emunah Ki Chelek Hashem Amo. The Jewish people are part of the divine of Hashem's people. Sheyisrael Hem Amanivcha. The Jewish people are the chosen people. L'Hashem Yisbarach. And Hashem treats us, and we're dealt with above the laws of nature. We don't follow the normal rules of history, of sociology, of anthropology in this world. Ubeiz chalakim elu, these two parts of emuna, of belief, is nechlalim b'dipuro harishona, is in the first of the Ten Commandments. Anoich Hashem Elokecha, asher tzisicha me'aretz Yisrael, I'm the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. mitzvahs ha'emunah ba'Hashem. That's the belief in Hashem and in divine providence. Anoichi Hashem emunas Hashem. Anoichi Hashem is emunas Hashem. Velokecha, and I am your God, is the belief that Hashem is our God, the Jewish people God. And Kabbalistically, we're part, our soul comes from above. It's a chilek Hashem amal. It's literally a piece of Hashem, whatever that means right now. Hemuna shu elokim shalcha, v'ata chilek echam amal. If you know that Hashem is our God, runs the entire world, and then we are a piece of the divine. V'yavanim bikshlakra hemuna. You want to destroy that. There's no one God in this world, and your body is for sensual pleasures, for physical prowess, for aesthetic beauty, nothing to do with the soul. And as it brings down multiple sources, they made us write on the horn of an ox. There's a lot of meaning to that. We're not going to do that right now. You have no portion. You have no. There is no God, and you have no connection to that. To uproot the yisoid of emuna of the Jewish people. V'gimol hanyanim hanizkar shirashim emuna bebeis hachalakim. All these three things: Shabbos, Mila, circumcision, and Rosh Chodesh. Both we'll see in a second, illustrate the belief in one God who created everything in the world and who leads everything in the world, and the belief in ourselves that we're the chosen people and that we have a port where our soul comes from above, from the divine throne, so to speak. Mila Moira al Bihiras Hamuna Shal Yehudi. Right? Every Jewish male, 8 days old, has a circumcision, which is a Muna. Take a little boy, 8 days old, a girl doesn't need it because they're on a different spiritual level, and we spill blood for the emunah. V'chen emunah ki chelek Hashem amo. And there's also in that circumcision is the belief that we're Hashem's people, as we say with the bris. It's a bris, it's a covenant, beini, between Hashem and v'neichem. Shemila is an ois of a bris between Hashem and the Jewish people. The ois, and it's a sign, shehudi that a yid, that a Jew, who's chelek echa b'mal, is one from above, v'shayich l'lyoina shal melech, is part of the Hashem's army, so to speak. We're part of Hashem's team. V'yavonim, and the Greeks, bikshu lakar me'yisrael, it's a ois shem l'lyoina melech, no, you have no part of this. V'kmo shegazo sheyichtivu she'en lehem chelek b'echa b'mal, so they force them to write, you have no portion with the Jewish people. By the way, again, I'm only using this as a metaphor. I think there's, but when you see these pro-Palestinian people go over and say free Palestine, I don't come to the world of political Zionism because I do have certain theological issues, even though I'm very happy in the state of Israel, and I certainly believe that almost all the criticism today are false and fake, etc. But the attack on Jews for the belief in a happy time of a Jewish state, which we should be very happy, and they'll want you and me to say free Palestine. It's not that they think it; they want you to say it. They want Jews to say it. And they want to embarrass Jews about it. This Roy Kahana, this bum, represents a lot of people on this call. Right? He goes to temples. He's in Congress. Just accused Israel of genocide. It's the farthest thing from the truth. Imagine, these people come attack us, want to murder us and rape us, and we defend ourselves. If Israel wanted to, they couldn't have killed every single person in the Gaza. They didn't give warnings. They moved people. They're attacking murderers, Nazis, Hamas, whatever. But this bozo, Roy Kahana, goes to temples and says this. And he wants to explain himself. And he wants you to believe it and me to believe it. And the Greeks were much worse than that. They didn't care if you were Jewish, but no Jewish pride. No Jewish Weltanschauung. You're Greek like we're a Greek. Where there's Seleucid Greeks, there's Ptolemaic Greeks. There are Greeks from wherever, a part of the Hellenistic world. So Bris, which is we give our blood, and it's a covenant, they came against that. And for sure they like it was affected physical beauty, because that's all that mattered in Greece. There was no soul. There's no spirit, ultimately. Number two is Shabbos, which we all learned about for months, years actually, over a year. Also illustrates both of these ideas of emunah, of belief. Shabbos is the yesod of emunah. Kisheishes yomim asas Hashem as shemayim v'saaretz. 6 days Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Of yom hashvi. On the seventh day, Shabbos v'yinafash. It was a Shabbos and we could focus on our soul. V'chen Shabbos is ois, is the sign of the connection between Hashem and the Jewish people. Last is Shabbos, the Doraisa. Somebody tells Shabbos that you, and we discuss this, only Jewish people keep Shabbos for all generations. It's a covenant, bris, oilam, because in Kish, beinu v'emnei so oisil oilam. Lachain, therefore a Gentile can keep all mitzvahs. There's only two mitzvahs you can't do, Torah and Shabbos. Goish is Shabbos, and the Jew, Goy keeps the complete Shabbos. Chai misa, kirak l'Yisrael yeshayich is a Shabbos. Only the Jewish people have a connection to Shabbos. Same thing with Rosh Chodesh. What's the idea of Rosh Chodesh? Moira al Amuna teaches the Amuna kid isa shemesh in Yanacha kir lavana in Amuna pshuta. We saw moin lavana shemasinu maschash kemosha hanashem maaminim ki am chelik Hashem imal vekshu el Hashem isparach mekochsim asinu maschash kemo lavana. The first of all, the sun is Amuna. It represents the moon of trying to understand God, but the moon is simple emunah in God. I don't get to the details, it will take us off track, but the Jewish people represent the moon and we wax and wane in like the moon, and it represents that God, just like the moon comes up again, the Jewish people will become again because Hashem watches over. And even if everything looks dark and everything looks, you know, evil. You know, there were Jews who lit a menorah in Auschwitz. It's an amazing thing. There was at least two stories in Hanukkah 1944, 81 years ago, of Jews who lit out menorah. I'll tell you both stories actually right now. It's amazing stories. There were Jews in two places that lit in Auschwitz. Story one and more. Actually, these are great stories. They're amazing stories. Story number one. Is there was a Yid, his name was Schnitzer, Shmuel Shmelcher Schnitzer, actually, who was who lived in Zurich for many years, Chassidus Shah. And he, when he was in Auschwitz, he told people, when I light Hanukkah, Licht, when I light Hanukkah candles. And there were, you know, no one believed him, he thought it was crazy. 3 days before Hanukkah, he's walking around, and he sees a little hole, you know, it looks a little weird. He sticks his hand in and he pulls out psilis, wicks. Can't believe it. And he sticks his hand back in there and he finds oil and jugs. Obviously someone hid it there and he's mshtoymit because he was the one person telling people they're going to light Hanukkah licht in Bergen-Belsen, which is out in the cold camp of Auschwitz where they worked. And puts it back, thinks someone did it. But then goes there the next day, so there, and right before Erev Hanukkah, it's right there, and he takes it literally before Hanukkah, figuring the person, if they wanted it, would have taken it, was most likely killed in the gas chambers. He goes to the barracks, he lights the Hanukkah, like he has enough for 8 days. People are mishtoymen, they can't believe it, no, the Auschwitz, so here we're lighting Hanukkah. Like. Many years later, this relation, Schnitzler, he was a survivor who lived in Switzerland. And he went to Williamsburg and he went to Satmar Rebbe. And he's with the Satmar Rebbe, because they're both in Bergen-Belsen. And the Satmar Rebbe, of course, got to the Kastner train. And he himself got to Switzerland and eventually to Eretz Yisrael and then to America, to Brooklyn. And he was talking about Bergen-Belsen. And the Satmar Rebbe said to him, one thing I feel very bad is he got out on the train 3 days before Hanukkah. He had hid wicks and oil and a menorah, and he wanted to give it to somebody. He didn't have a tea. They literally pulled him out of the camp, by the way, which is a miracle. It was a whole castor train, very controversial deal, whatever. Some Rebbe was on that train, and I never gave it to anyone. So the Rebbe Shutzer told him, no, you should know that that oil that you hit and those wicks and that menorah was used by me. Story number one. Story number two, I don't think they realized that the Blush of the Rebbe, he, for weeks, was working on getting Chanukah light into light in Auschwitz. And he had like shoe polish and like, I felt like threads and wicks. And he had a mass, he did in the change of the guards. He told people he was going to do it. And he had a mass lighting. There were 300 people that came. And if they would have got called, everyone in person would have been murdered in Auschwitz, Bergen-Belsen. And the Blush of a Rebbe, he lights it. He says, L'halik Nershal Chanukah. And he says, Sha'as and Yitzhak Lava say, you know. And he stops. 300 people in Auschwitz. Imagine the costumes. Imagine the scene. 1944 Chanukah. That whole summer, almost a million Hungarian and Romanian Jews were murdered. Okay? It's brutal. No one knows what's going to be. They can kill all of them at any moment. And he steps, before Shachar, he stops, looking around, doesn't find the person he wants to, and he says, Shachano. Okay, these people, again, are all mishtoimim. They're letting 300 people see the Blush of the Rebbe light menorah in Auschwitz, Bergen-Belsen, which is the camp from Auschwitz. And all of a sudden, a Jewish communist comes running over to the Blush of the Rebbe. This Jewish communist had apparently learned in Jewish school when he was younger, and he says, Rebbe, I don't get you. He said, I don't believe in this stuff, but I understand how you can light a mitzvah because you're a very religious rabbi and you believe in the commandment. And I can see that you can say Sha'as Anisim because you believe that there's miracles and maybe God somehow will save you today. But to say Shehechianu, to say that we thank Hashem for this moment we're here today, look at us! We're dying, our mothers, our fathers. We're in Auschwitz. So the Blush of the Rebbe looked at him and he said, I'll tell you the truth. I had the same question as you. Can I say Shechiano? And I stopped to look if I can see the Klausenberg Rebbe if he was in the room. Klausenberg Rebbe was also this great Rebbe who survived the war. And there's Klausenberg Sons, there's a big Chassidus in New York and in Eretz Yisrael. The main hospital in Netanya was built by the Klausenberg Rebbe. And I was looking for the Klausenberg Rebbe and if he was there, he wasn't there. I was trying to say, should I say Shechiano? Should I not? But then when I didn't see the Klausenberg, I saw 300 people in Auschwitz who love Hashem so much, who were not broken by everything they saw. And then I said Shechiano. Because this is the people. Look at who we are. Right? So, Look at the greatness of that. For people who were in San Jose, we had Yosef Mendelovich from Russia come twice, who was thrown, one of the first refuseniks, who was thrown into Siberia for years. He lived in Iran, Siberia. Made a sukkah in Siberia. Kept kosher in Siberia. Learned in Siberia. And the Greeks wanted to destroy all of that. And all these three things are the fortresses of the Jewish people. Says so that the Greeks came against that. Came against that essence. Those spiritual fortresses which remind us of our belief in Hashem and the holiness in every Jew that we come from Hashem. We are Hashem's chosen people. And the Rosh Tevas of Shabbos, Mila, and Chodesh is Sameach. Dinei, but Malas HaSimcha, when you think about being happy, Eina Midas Pratis Kashar Midas, Eli Midas Klalas. V'nif Alas Hi Pu'ulas B'leif HaAdam, Kol Inyanav Shal Yehudi Tzluyim B'im Hu Masameach. Everything depends if you're happy. If you want to be a passionate Jew, you have to be a happy Jew. Im Merutzev Lo Kavar, you're happy with God, you're happy with our deeds. K'mo shmona shem kol madregas and k'vo shukulon musagas ayde means and simchas. All of the levels of get is through simcha. But a simcha, true spiritual happiness, is only by the Jewish people. Kasha adam is spoinen arei roi ki ein lo mamalia samech. People whose essence is temporal, or that there's no reason for them to be happy. Rak yismach yisrael ba'oisav shu zoi simcha sh'emes. Simcha is be achizas tamid shehudi yachol tamid l'smal simcha b'kosh to asan egoi. A Jew who every second could connect to Hashem. We have mitzvahs and every Jew's involved. It's not give a, I once gave a drush on this and Amachad helped. Every Jew, and in most religions, it's the priests, a priestly class. They're the active ones, or the higher ups. The simplest Jew can be on a higher level than the greatest Jew, the most powerful Jew. And this, all of us all have the ability every moment of the day to do Torah v'mitzvah, shalosh asarim goyim. And these three things allow us to absorb simcha, to appreciate what it means to be a Jew. Shabbos, as you know, is v'yom simchas v'en lo shabbosos. Ki Shabbos, the whole Shabbos, is yom ha'dvekis bo, miskayim ha'kesher ben Yisrael l'kadosh baruch hu. Therefore today, since we have a connection, it's a joyous day. And Amila, the Gemara says, Sas Anoich Amir Asecha, that pasuk is Mila. It's given the eighth day. And Jews still, of course, do it with joy. With Isa B'Chazal. Shekosh Baruch Hu Koyle Kol Pamal Shemal Lavo. The Zohar says, when a Jew does Mila, and so, you see the mother, and everyone's happy, you have the victorious sign, say, ooh, you know, and everyone's, all freilich and happy by a Mila. Hashem takes all everyone. Look, they're giving their blood. They're so happy. Why are they happy? Because they're connecting to the eternal Jewish people. V'av shemeduber batinik ben shmona, shemetzah atevim esores v'achmaras alav apim yehudim mekayim zos v'simcha. And usually, you see a little baby, you don't even get a little, any boo-boo. On the contrary, we have a suda, we have a big party, we rejoice that another Jewish boy is brought into the covenant. And the more holy we get, the more connected we get, the more happier we are. And Rosh Chodesh also, it's v'yom simchaschem o'mo'adeichem roshay chatzeichem. The pasuk says these are 3 days, this is man of simcha. Shabbos, Moadim, Rosh Chodesh, all of them are a form of Yom Tov in different ways. These 3 things made us happy. When Jews are bris, they're happy. When Jews keep Shabbos, they're happy. When Jews have Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tovim, they're happy. The Greeks came against that because they wanted to crush Yiddishkeit like they did in communist Russia. You can be a Jew. Like what they did to Minsk. Minsk was a city of Torah. Vilna was a city of Torah. Brisk was a city of Torah. Slutsk had Torah. And the Soviets crushed Yiddishkeit. All through Ukraine, there was shtetlach of Yiddin. The Greeks did it that plus. plus. V'chem egzeira kasvu al keren ashor. They don't any make a Jew happy being a Jew. With Yiddishkeit. But and by the way, the Jews are the complete opposite. In Auschwitz, in Russia, in the gulags, those who were able to connect, and then under the Greeks, the Jews pushed themselves and they were happy. Even in the worst of times. Now Hashem is your God. And that's what the Lujan Rebbe saw that day in Auschwitz. 300 Jews sitting there gaunt, listening to a menorah. My wife's grandfather was in Auschwitz in Brooklyn. He heard the shofar there. He heard the shofar there. He has hundreds of from Jews as descendants. V'zeh chizik ha'yachid kasher v'matzav garuah mo'oid v'lomal eskazek. V'iratzi v'ma'akra. You all knew that the Jews were connected to this. They wanted to uproot it. They wanted to say, you have no portion with Hashem. Take away this happiness. It also represents these three inyanim, which is of, so to speak, gates. Shabbos is the gate to the whole week, where we prepare, we said it coming up now, in Motor Shabbos, prepare ourselves spiritually. Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh is the gate for the whole month, to prepare spiritually for the month. Kosh Amar Tzadikim Choroi Rosh Chodesh, Yerez Der Chadasha, they have a new service of Hashem. And Mila is a gate, which protects us in general from the sin. It's usually the Pesachatis Revit. And Mila makes us spiritually prepared not to sin. And the Yevanim also want to crush this. Says Reb Chaim Vital, the great student of the Arizal on Parshat Shoftim, it says Shoftim and Shoftim Titlecha B'chol Sharecha. You should have judges, you should have guards at all of your gates. He explains this Shari de Gugota. What's the gates? Your eyes, your ears, your nose, and your mouth. All these are openings, gates, your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, that you can use them for Kedusha, for holiness, or you can stare and listen to Greek music, Greek pictures, right? Talk like a Greek, and today we talk like a Western culture person. Says Reb Chaim Vital, that a Yid has to miskaber kari against by these gates. And he says, actually, as we say in Shulchan Aruch, every morning we should be wake up to fight against it. Right, that every single day we should be watching our gates, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, to do this. And that's to swing back. It says Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis. For these sha'arim, for these spiritual gates, for our own Shabbos, our own Mila, our own Rosh Chodesh. And that's why he says we light by the door, the Pesach, our gates, that we should conquer all of these things. And when we say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis, it means that as well. So everybody say, we're going to start Chanukah. There are Greeks and Greek culture all around us, whether we're cognizant of it or not. You know, it pains me to no end. I walked by a Jewish house today, an intermarried Jew, and I saw a tree. Half a menorah with a tree. I saw two of them down my block. A menorah and a tree. Rachmanis. Now, we don't have menorahs and trees. But do we have other trees in our house? Right, we light in our house. Chanukah is a time to make ourselves a Yid. To be a proud Yid. To have a sense of who we are, that we're Hashem's chosen people. That to have a simcha in our Yiddishkeit. When we see the menorah with not just the lighting. Right? Well, are we more Greek, more American, Western, or more Yiddish? Time to strengthen. We say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis, our essence. You know, Mendelssohn was a real misogyny at some level. His followers were way more. You could be a Jew, but don't show her on the street. Right? All of us, you know, we're looking at ourselves, the magazines and internet, that our house is a Yiddish. How can we improve ourselves? What we see, what we do, what we talk. You know, the menorah we light in the house today, we need the menorah in our house to remind ourselves, to purify ourselves. We used to light outdoors. Then it became dangerous. Sfas Emes says that we still light the menorah today because we ourselves need the menorah in our own house to purify ourselves. So the Greeks came in Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Mila, because the ultimate emunah that every Jew has to have is the emunah Hashem runs the world. Hashem is the God of the world, and that we're His chosen people, and that we're shtick Hashem lo kayim mal. And so I just wanted to do a small piece, it went longer, way longer than I thought it would, to remind ourselves that when we're lighting, starting tomorrow night, right, it's not just about the red string of the lighting. It's to look at ourselves, to mechazik our emunah, our faith in Hashem, that He gives us miracles, and watches over the Jewish people, and our faith in ourselves to know who we are. And if we can do that on Chanukah, right, we'll make tremendous chizuk for ourselves, And every Jew who lives this way, we light the world, the light for the world. Yidden, Jews who are aflame, it's not just about you and I, it's about our families, our communities, about Jews who know less, right? Or even our brothers and sisters, the farthest Jew, we still, even the Messiahmanim, we love every Jew, we want to share it. And the stronger we are, the more clarity we have, the more we can share. I want to wish everyone the Simcha of Chanukah, our Freilich in Chanukah, Samech, Shabbos, Milo, Chodesh, Emunah. We should have Emunah, we should have a Lichtige Chanukah, we should have a lightful Chanukah of clarity. And in that merit, we should be Zoicha to be Mashpil the Toiv, and we should really be Zoicha. The real Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. We should be Zoicha to see the menorah lit in the base of Midrash from here and there.